I sprinkle cinnamon in my house plants, and that helps keep the mold at bay.
What?
Yeah, isn't that a cool trick? When I first heard that, I thought, no, that can't be right, but it actually works.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So one of the things you've maybe heard me talk about before is the fact that my family affectionately refers to me as Dr. Killjoy. And I was really quite excited today to have someone else on the podcast who I feel like I could share that title with. And I mean that half jokingly because the work of my guest today, Genevieve White, is so important. Genevieve is a health coach, and in particular, the focus of her practice is around environmental medicine. How do we help people recognize the things that are in their home that are filling up their cup faster than they should be? Environmental exposure is not just about its implications in chronic disease, but frankly, the toxicity that we hold as a result of our environment is often the reason for thyroid conditions, why we can't lose weight, and frankly, impedes us from feeling at our best all of the time. You know, it's common, but not normal to be affected by our environment. And one of the cool things about my conversation with Genevieve today is we started to pull apart the things that you need to look at, the things that you can change, and the things that you can do right away in order to be able to live your most optimal life in the place where you spend your most time, your home. So go-getters, entrepreneurs, the space that you survive in is absolutely critical to giving you the energy you need to live the mission you are meant to live. And I'm so excited for my guest today, Genevieve White, who's going to take you through all the things you need to know about having a safe, secure, and health-optimized home. Genevieve White, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. I was looking through some material before we jumped on this call and I was like, ooh, I'm totally into that. And ooh, I'm totally into that, which generally means our audience is going to love what it is that you have to say. But before I give too much away, I'm wondering if you can just take us through your journey. What is it that propelled you to go into health coaching and doing the type of work that you are doing? And then how has that brought us right to where you are at in your career as an entrepreneur and as a health coach right today?
Yeah, for sure. We all have our personal story, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it started about 10 years ago. I got really sick really suddenly, to the point where I couldn't work in an office anymore. I could really barely walk. Like, I made it a point to get out for a walk every day, but sometimes I had to hold on to my husband and just go really slowly around the block. And that was the best that I could do. I got really moody. I had terrible IBS, just all these things hit me all at once. And it took 2 years and 16 different practitioners to figure out kind of what was going on with me and how to get better. And what I learned was I had high levels of, 4 or 5 different heavy metals in my body. I had all kinds of pesticides and just a myriad of environmental toxins. Basically, my body was just toxic and it just hit the threshold and I just couldn't function anymore. So, you know, during that process, during those 2 years of trying to do a lot of research on my own and talking to different practitioners, I came to realize that there's a lot of people that are living with, you know, chronic diseases like autoimmune conditions and environmental health issues, but also just chronic symptoms like, you know, that afternoon slump or just feeling like you're still tired when you get up in the morning and all these things that we kind of relate to aging or overworking, that a lot of that has to do with environmental toxins. So I quit my job and got certified as a health coach, and ever since then, I've just been working with people to improve their lives through diet and exercise, but also with a big emphasis on reducing the toxic load inside their home. You know, there's a lot of, we always hear about environmental toxins and it feels overwhelming because you think of like oil spills and air pollution and things like that. But our home environment is really a lot more polluted than people realize, sometimes even like 100 times more polluted inside a building than outside of the building. And we have control over that.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I've observed this in my practice, and I was sharing that I was trained in a lot of environmental medicine, especially early on in my career. And the number of people who would come in who had rheumatoid arthritis, and I would say, did this come on after a renovation? And they just kind of stop dead in their tracks. It's like this really common correlation that I have seen in my practice. And I agree, people look at you with this face and they're like, what do you mean inside my house is more polluted than my external environment? Can you give people some examples of the types of really pollution and toxicity within the home that you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think a big part of it is that people just aren't opening their windows. We live in these super energy efficient homes that are or work in buildings that are climate controlled. And we're just not getting fresh air in. So we kind of have these sealed boxes where we have things off-gassing from our furnishings and our home finishes and even like our personal care products. So for example, I'm sitting here looking at my couch, right? And I'm thinking, okay, the typical couch has a frame of, it's a wood frame that these days is usually pressed wood. So there's formaldehyde coming out of the resins in that wood. You have fire retardants in the foam of the cushions. And then you have the stain resistant chemicals on the fabrics. All of these can lead to things like cancers, Alzheimer's, you know, acne, allergies, you name it, all kinds of conditions just from those three chemicals. And that's just the couch, right? You know, you look at like our home finishes, like our cabinets, you've got formaldehyde coming out of that. Those are typically pressed wood. You look at air fresheners. Those air fresheners are horrible. you know, what are you cleaning your clothes with? You know, you think you're the term freshener, right? It's like, and it's not, it's just, it's more like a toxiner, you know? So if there's, I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. You look under your kitchen cabinets, right? Or on your bathroom counter, and every single one of those products in the typical American household has hundreds of chemicals in it.
Yeah, it's super, well, I mean, it's super frustrating. And as soon as you start to learn about these things, it's challenging what we do with that information. And my family definitely calls me this. My patients are now starting to call me this, and that is Dr. Killjoy. And it's not that I'm trying to be that, because there's a really fine balance you need to walk. And I think part of health is being resilient, but part of accessing resilience is getting rid of those things that you encounter on a daily basis that are using up your health budget. And knowing what some of those things are so you can make informed decisions are super, super important. Those plug-in air fresheners that squirt every time you walk by them, those are like, nothing actually irritates me more as a practitioner than the thought of those things being in people's homes.
Oh, I know. They're awful. And yeah, and you know, it's true. Like, it, you know, the term killjoy, there's definitely something to that. Like, I start talking about this stuff and people just get like a blank stare, or they just kind of get freaked out, you know, because either it's just way too much information that is totally unbelievable, or, you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm being poisoned at all the, you know, at all times. And yes, we are, but I mean, our bodies are able to handle a certain amount of that. And I think it's important to remember that even if you're just making one change, like even if you're thinking, okay, I'm about to run out of shampoo, I'm going to do a little research so that the next shampoo, you know, you're putting that on your scalp every single day, right? For most of us. So it's like, even that one change can make a big difference. So, you know, I don't want to scare people. I just want to make people aware of what we're exposing ourselves to.
Absolutely. So if we could give people like three things that you just wish they would go home and take out of their house right now forever. Don't use it all up so you don't feel waste, but like legit, just throw it out. What would those three things be?
Okay, to take out of your house, I would say, you know, the air fresheners, like, you know, like we already discussed, the plug-ins and the sprays, even the scented candles. Get rid of those.
What about soy scented candles? Because I know people are thinking that.
I think soy candles are okay. I would only use scented if they're scented with essential oils. Okay, so here's the thing about fragrance. The term fragrance it's a trade secret. So it can have up to a couple hundred chemicals in that one ingredient in a product. So any cleaners, any shampoos, you know, all those personal care products that list fragrance or parfum, they can have hundreds of chemicals just in that one item. And they will include a category of chemicals called phthalates that holds the scent in the product. And phthalates are connected to, you know, it's a neurotoxin, it's potential carcinogen, it's, you know, connected to, it's an endocrine disruptor, so it messes up your hormones, and your hormones are connected to basically every symptom in your body, right? So, you know, just that one thing. But back to your question. So throw out the air fresheners. If you're going to talk about what to throw out, you can just look at all your cleaners and just narrow it down to one or two things. You know, you don't need to have something for your toilet and something for your tub and something for your floor and something, you know, like you don't need a different cleaner for every, you don't even need cleaners, right? I mean, all you really need is like vinegar and baking soda in most situations.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So just paring it down, you know, most people on their bathroom counters or in their cabinets just have dozens of products that they've tried, they didn't like, and they still sit there. And what they don't realize is they're putting VOCs into the air just in their presence. They've done air testing on products that was like in, you know, in the package, sealed, and then in the cabinet with the door shut, and they could still detect the VOCs coming out of that product.
Yeah, and what's hard to see is, one, what the chemicals are, and two, what your unique genetic composition is and your capacity to actually handle that toxic load. And I always explain to my patients, we each have different size cups. So some people have this huge cup and they, you know, they can eat the crummy food and they can be exposed to all the chemical, and they're skinny and their skin's perfect and everything's working well. And then other people, one or two exposures and suddenly, you know, things are spilling everywhere. And that's one of the biggest challenges in navigating environmental health, is that we don't all have the same size cup when we're attempting to navigate through this world. And so given that piece, when you're working with people who are like, listen, I suspect that my environment is one of the things that is really triggering my state of illness or being unwell, how do you approach caring for those individuals given this unique genetic makeup that we all have?
First of all, I just want to say that you don't always know how close you are to the top of the cup also, like before it runs over.
100%.
And once it runs over, you're in trouble, right? So you really, you know, it's really important to be proactive in, you know, in the bottom of the cup now so that it doesn't overflow, even if you feel pretty good. So, you know, good places to start for people that suspect that environmental health is a, you know, that environmental toxins are a factor in the way they're feeling. You know, there's really simple things that you can do that don't cost any money and don't require any big changes. So for instance, we talked about buildings being sealed. Open your windows every day. It's so simple. You know, even if it's cold outside, so you do it just for just a few minutes, open one window at one end of your house and another at the other end to get a little cross breeze and just kind of push out the stale air. Another thing is keeping your shoes at the door. You know, we walk in pet waste, we walk in whatever the you know, your neighbors are spraying on their lawn. We walk in the oil and the antifreeze coming off our cars. Keep it at the door. Don't let that come into your house. And then another piece is dusting. They have found that testing has been done on household dust, and they've found dozens of chemicals just in that dust. And I was actually just looking. I was talking to a guy recently that does mold inspection, and they've started testing the household dust for mold. So, you know, the household dust collects all kinds of toxins and allergens just in there. So if you're wiping with a wet cloth on a regular basis, if you have hardwood floors, you know, wet mop your floors so you're not just brushing it around. If you have carpet, which, you know, I'd love to tell everyone to just get rid of all their carpet. But if you have carpet, you know, vacuum regularly with the HEPA filter. Just keeping things clean is a really good start.
Yeah, that makes such a huge difference for people. And I know for individuals too, like one thing I'd love to dissect with you is, I mean, you talked about your own health journey where you saw all these practitioners and finally you realized you were toxic. What kind of symptoms were you experiencing, and what kind of symptoms do you see in people where it's just like all the alarm bells are going off for you that this is an environmental reaction?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you look at this type of symptoms that can be caused by, you know, just one chemical and then another chemical, you're basically going to cover everything, right? But for me personally, what it started with was IBS. So I just suddenly got really terrible irritable bowel that would go back and forth between constipation and diarrhea. And I went to all these specialists and they would just tell me, oh, you have IBS, which, you know, is just a list of symptoms. It's not like a real diagnosis. And they would say, take fiber and take probiotics. And that was all the advice that I would get. And they did all this testing and, you know, they didn't find anything. And then as things got worse as time went on, which actually wasn't much time. Like, this all happened pretty quickly. I started to get really severely fatigued. So I would just kind of fall asleep at weird times. And I would literally collapse. You know, I'd be like this actually happened to me several times where I would be trying to make dinner. I knew what needed to happen, but I just couldn't figure out, I couldn't tell the order that it needed to be in. Like, I would just, you know, I had this really severe brain fog and I would just get confused. And then I would just literally collapse right there in the bathroom floor on the kitchen floor, just from exhaustion, just from trying to figure it out. So my situation was pretty extreme. You know, I mentioned that I could barely walk around the block. I had a lot of pain. I would literally moan in my sleep. My husband, I didn't know this until later, but apparently that was regular practice. And then I was so moody that my children were 11 and 14 at the time. And they really, you know, they told me later that they really thought that they just kind of lost their mom, you know, because I was just like this moody, unpredictable. One minute I was mad because my husband couldn't figure out what I needed for breakfast. And the next minute I was, you know, crying because I was just so miserable. And, you know, they'd always be like, what's wrong with mom? Why is she crying? And nobody could figure it out. And I was like upset because I couldn't understand, you know. So I think in my situation, it's pretty severe. But looking back, you know, I realized I was tired for years. And I mean, before, you know, I married my husband when my you know, kids were like adolescent. And so I was a single mom for several years. And I just thought it was because I was a single mom and I was working hard and I was living in poverty and it was just tiring, you know. And I thought that I had normal digestion and it turns out I didn't. And, you know, I would get headaches and, you know, these things that I just thought were kind of normal that really aren't, you know, and certainly aren't optimum.
Yeah. It's always such a sad, it's always so sad for me when, frankly, when people figure out that this is actually the cause of their problem, because it's never like, oh, I noticed it. I noticed the first set of symptoms that something was amok and I immediately thought of my environment. But I thought what I would do is, like, as you were talking, I wrote down a few of the things that I consistently see in practice, and I'd love for you to comment on them. But these are always like, as soon as people mention these things to me, I'm immediately like, oh, we need to do a workup for an environmental exposure issue for you. And usually I also run genetics, like genetic panels, or have them access the raw data from genetic panels that they've had done. And we see very consistent patterns in terms of pathways related to glutathione in the liver, for example. But some of the key things that I'm seeing, and you probably can add to this list, Genevieve, is if you walk through a department store where all the perfumes are and you are irritated by that, you start sneezing or you get a headache, or you just know, you're like, ooh, I can never do that. That's usually an issue with respect to exposure. I have a cluster of people in my practice who have developed chronic thyroid issues, Hashimoto's in particular, and it's come on within 18 months of moving into a condo close to a highway. So we see correlations in terms of exhaust particulate. Chronic unexplained joint pain, especially in young people, I'm always looking at an environmental trigger for that. And then one thing, and people usually are in denial of this for a long period of time because it categorized as an inconvenient reality. But if you get worse every time you go home, that needs to be a red flag. And I had someone in my practice last year, and every time she'd go into her house, she would get migraines and her eczema would be worse. And her son had this chronic cough since they moved into their new house. And I was like, you're not going to like me for this. But I was like, you need to rip that place apart and find out where your mold is. Like, you have mold somewhere in your house. And that, I mean, listen, that opened a whole can of worms, but she had black mold in her house. And they remediated that issue and everyone got well again. So it sucks sometimes when these things are surfacing, but it really is your life or someone else's life who's on the line. Do you have other symptoms that you wanted to add to that list?
I thought of several and wish I couldn't find a pen anywhere, but you mentioned responding to the perfumes. Also, if you react, like if when you're in the grocery store going by the cleaning aisle, if you know, some people just feel like kind of grossed out, but a lot of people will also, which I think is a symptom, but other people will have, like some trouble breathing, like your chest will tighten up. One thing is a cough. Like if people have coughs that kind of come and go, there's probably some sort of allergen, whether it's environmental or pet or something like that. You mentioned eczema. I've seen a lot of people clear their skin conditions just by getting rid of the products that they've been putting on or their laundry soap. Dandruff and other conditions, you know, on the scalp are often a reaction to the chemicals that they're using. And, you know, it's kind of this vicious cycle, because especially in a scalp situation, you feel like you need to use a special shampoo to keep that from coming back. But if you can just stop using it for a while and let it come and then let it go, and then just use, you know, a very natural product, that can be cleared right up. Like I had chronic dandruff most of my life, and all I had to do was stop putting the chemicals on my head. We're so used to these things, you know, where nobody thinks about what's in their shampoo unless they're thinking about, you know, what they want it to smell like or what they want it to do for their hair, right?
100%. Like I think we're back to the same thing, right? It just kind of stinks. And when you actually step up and you're like, I'm just going to do an overhaul. It's more important to me to have my health than to have my hair smell like strawberries. Then that will actually change your life. And I think one of the challenges with doing environmental medicine in general is it's really hard to find the bright light and the silver lining. And so, you know, to that end, because I know one of the things that's kind of exciting for people is be like, okay, cool. Like we're going to do organic. Like what are some of your favorite like shampoos and cleaning products and what cool new things have you introduced into your world, Genevieve, as a result of this training that are kind of new and novel and fun and can get people excited about living their life this way?
Yeah, so that's a really good point because it can be fun, right? If you're replacing things in your home, it can actually be fun to try new things and to do some shopping. I really like Anne Marie skincare, hands down my new favorite. It's all organic, wildcrafted, really wonderful, beautiful stuff. I love what it does for my skin. Beauty Counter is another favorite of mine. They're EWG certified. EWG, or the Environmental Working Group, will actually rate all your products. It's a really good resource. It's called Skin Deep. If you go to Skin Deep, you can just put in your products and see how they rate. But you can also, like, if you're looking for, say you want mascara or whatever, you can just put it in and it will tell you like the highest rated ones. But if it's EWG certified, then you know it just kind of passes all the tests with flying colors. So those are my favorite for skincare. I'm not really much of a makeup person. I do wear a mascara and I really like Echo Bella. You know, I'm still playing with shampoos, to be honest with you. Although I am, you know, pleased to say I haven't had dandruff in years, but I haven't found the one that I just love yet. Cleaning products. I usually use the BioClean, which not all of their products are great. So I also use the Healthy Cleaning Guide from EWG to find the best ones there. But I just have like one or two different BioClean products and I use those for almost everything. And then for the really nasty stuff, like if I'm concerned about bacteria, like if I've had some, you know, meat on my counter or something like that, there's a product called Decon 30 that's all essential oils, but it's so strong that it's actually what people use after remediation from mold to keep the mold from coming back.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the Molecule air filter for the last year, which is just like this beautifully designed air filtration system that you can have in a room by room basis. And then plants. I think sometimes we forget the virtues of like really great broadleaf plants in your home as being natural things to actually clean up your environment. Like it's super fun and really effective and really helpful in terms of having those things in your home.
Yeah, I think we have to be really careful though about making sure that nothing is growing in our soil that we don't want growing in our soil. You know, so like I'm always really careful to drain well, you know, so you don't get like root rot. And then I sprinkle cinnamon in my house plants and that helps keep the mold at bay.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. So smart.
Isn't that a cool trick? Yeah, I had no idea. And I thought, when I first heard that, I thought, no, that can't be right. But it actually works. I don't get any of the white fuzzy stuff on my soil anymore, just from putting the cinnamon in there.
Oh, that's amazing. Because mold is such an issue. And I'm up in Toronto right now. We have flooding everywhere up here. People's homes are getting flooded. And I'm devastated for them in terms of the damage to their property. But I am alarmed for them at their risks in terms of mold and the need for mold remediation. And I like, what a cool little tip. You can't just sprinkle cinnamon on your house, by the way, if it has had flooding. But I think a lot of us are living with mold in our homes and we don't even realize it. How super cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, I live in the Northwest, so it's a similar sort of, we definitely get flooding. And then we also, you know, things just like don't dry out. On the west side of the Cascades, we get all this rain. And I actually live on Mount Hood, so my house is surrounded by trees. And, you know, things just don't dry out. So you have to really, I actually just test every once in a while, because I think it's important to make sure it's really easy for there to be, you know, a leak in your plumbing or something that you're just not aware of. And then that kind of sneaks up on you.
Well, and it's usually the things that we're not aware of. I had someone who came in and they had some chronic migraines and some things that came up pretty acutely. It wasn't part of their picture. And we ran some environmental health testing and she came back and I said, I need you to take your car to the mechanics. I'm pretty sure you have an exhaust leak. And she thought I was crazy and they thought I was crazy. And sure enough, they went through it with a fine tooth comb and she had had this minor exhaust leak in her car for a few months. And that's exactly how we ended up detecting it. It just kind of snuck up on her. She didn't really know. So these things tend to, these things kind of end up being a little bit insidious on us as well.
Wow. That's really interesting. So what came up on the lab that made you think of an exhaust leak?
I'd have to go back and look at the exact particulate profile that we were getting. I think we ran the test through Maybe it was a Great Plains test or doctor's data. It was like 5+ years ago, but it was the exact profile of chemicals that you would see in terms of exhaust particulate in a car. And they were just at such high levels. I was like, oh gosh, like you're close to this piece. Like this isn't I live near the road kind of profile. And sure enough, that's what they found. It was really interesting. And sure, she probably had the genetics that meant she couldn't move those things through her system. Like it's always a perfect storm that ends up happening. But it was really fascinating. This is a very real thing. I know there's people who are highly resilient and genetically they've got those bigger cups. We're like, nah, this can't possibly be as bad as you're talking about. It's really bad for some people. It's really a huge challenge. And I think we're only going to see more of it as our climate becomes more stressed.
Yeah. And, you know, mentioning exhaust, we were talking about things that people can kind of watch for as warning factors is look at how you respond to smoke. Like if you go to campfires or if you're in a building where there's a fireplace or something like that, if you have a hard time with the smoke, that's a really good indicator that you, genetically that you have certain SNPs that are going to make it, that you really need to watch for. That's what I found, in all those years of trying to figure out what was going on with me is you're talking about, like people's cups. Like I basically have a thimble and it's fascinating because my mom has Parkinson's, her mom had Parkinson's and her mom's mom had Parkinson's. My dad had ALS and his dad had ALS. In my siblings, we have cancer, epilepsy, mental health, Cushing's disease, multiple chemical sensitivity, all these things that just seem like, what, this is crazy. But now that we know, now that we have that genetic information, it all makes sense. It's all connected. And it makes me a lot more optimistic for like my kids and their kids. That prevention wise, we can kind of like break this ugly cycle of disease in my family.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that a little bit because I think one of the things that's really amazing is that you took the situation that's really difficult and you went, I'm going to do something about it. Like you didn't just clean your house up. You're like, I'm making a career out of this piece so that other people don't have to go through it. Tell us a little bit, Genevieve, about what it means to actually be a health coach. What does that look like? I think for a lot of, for my patients, they're like, okay, we know what it's like to see a naturopathic doctor and that experience. And I really believe that health coaching should exist alongside what I do as a practitioner. Take us through what it looks like to work with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, in general, health coaching is really taking off right now. When I got certified just a few years ago, there was just a couple different coaching schools and now there are so many, and it really depends, what it looks like working for a health coach depends on where they receive their certification. But for me, basically what it comes down to is, other than the environmental health piece, there's a lot of practitioners out there that recognize how important environmental health is, but either don't have the time or don't have the right information to really help their parent or their patients. So for me, I do a full assessment. Basically, it's just a long questionnaire of check the box. And then we go through the house and just sort of area by area, clean things up. The other piece of that, or the other piece as a health coach is basically if a doctor has a patient where they have a complicated diet that they need for healing. Like I've worked with a lot of people that have SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, where they have a really particular diet that they need to do, I help the patient feel less overwhelmed. And, quite frankly, oftentimes people feel really angry, because they have these situations where they can't just pop a pill. They have to really work at getting better. And when you feel terrible, that's overwhelming, right? So part of my role is to just go through that journey with them and make it feel less overwhelming. And one of the ways that I do that is to put the meal plans together for them, put together the recipes for them, find the things that they can eat, and just put it in front of them introduce them to new foods, make it so that they're things that are, you know, not too challenging to make if they're people that are living with a lot of fatigue or just haven't spent much time in the kitchen. And then, you know, sometimes I work with them with on movement as well, depending on what their situation is, you know, how to find movement that really works for you. I shy away from the term exercise because I don't want it to be like this thing where you have to schedule it into your day and it's kind of a pain to do it. You know, I want it to be something that you enjoy, that you want to do, and is going to keep you moving. So, you know, just things like that. Those are the three main areas that I work with people on.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. And what? How long did it take you to become a health coach?
It's a 1-year certification, and then that was all around diet and coaching technique. So the environmental health piece was separate courses that I took. You know, I had done a ton of reading, and I felt pretty confident about my environmental health know-how until I took some courses, and I learned so much more. Like, I had no idea how little I knew, you know, because she just really opened my eyes to so much more information. And she has some really great courses for people that are pretty involved.
At the end of the day, it really is all about your brain and what you do with it. It is the most amazing supercomputer that you have access to. And yet we spend so little time making sure that we are giving it the things it needs so that it can serve us on our mission-driven journey. We have questions that we always ask people when they're sitting in our office so we can get insight in terms of how well someone's brain is actually serving the work that they do. And we decided to take this knowledge and take this line of questioning and hand it off to you. We've created a quiz for you, and you can find it at anthropologyperformancelabs.com/brain quiz, where we start to provide you with the insight of smarter questions with respect to how your brain is functioning on a daily basis. If you want to get your hands on these awesome nuggets of knowledge, head on over to anthropologyperformancelabs.com/brain quiz and get started today. Absolutely amazing. And I think this is a really perfect place for us to transition to the second component of our podcast. And this is where we really delve into what I call the KPIs of health. So key performance indicators, just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in terms of how we live our lives as well. So if you'll indulge me, I have a few quick rapid fire questions coming your way.
Okay.
You're like, oh gosh, what is she going to do? I promise they're so fun. Okay. Here we go. Genevieve, who's inspiring you right now?
Laura Adler.
Awesome. What is your audacious goal for the next year?
Full disclosure, I am also a waitress. So, you know, I left my marketing job to do this full time and needed to do some work on the side before I could really let this take off. So I've been in business for 3 years, but I'm also working part-time. So that's my big goal, is to just be a coach and nothing else.
Love that. It's going to help so many people. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Paying attention. I don't know, like listening to my body. I meditate every day, and I try to just be really mindful of the signals that my body is giving me. Because it's not, you can't just clean your house and then be good to go. You know, especially for people like me, it's an ongoing thing where I'm always, you know, one of the beautiful things about clearing your home environment is you get out of what I call symptom fog. Like, you get a lot of that, those nagging things that were, you didn't even know were bothering you, get out of the way. And then you can really tune in to, oh, I still have this one symptom. Where is that coming from? And for me, it's almost always an environmental factor. So just listening to my body and trying to communicate with it, I guess.
Amazing. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I used to be a competitive dancer when I was a teenager.
That's amazing. I love it. I love these little facts about people that we wouldn't otherwise have access to. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, I live in the woods. So I hike as much as possible. And when I'm feeling well enough, I play kickball. I play in a kickball league.
Amazing. And last question for you, Genevieve. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we learn.
Love that. Genevieve White, where can we send people to learn more about what you are up to and how you are saving them from their homes?
You can find me at environmentalhealthcoach.com or on Facebook at Environmental Health Coach.
I love it. Amazing. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.